fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that bitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up.
And good morning. You are listening to the Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. A minute before 9 o'clock, and we're about a half hour away from kicking off Fight the Empire with Per Fogering, looking at how the U.S. Empire paved the way for Islamic State. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre will be hosting Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder. And on today's show, Vince Warren, Executive Director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, discusses his trip to Palestine. And Todd Pierce, a retired Army attorney, talks about American militarism and how military rule has caused the degeneration of principles within the U.S. Constitution. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Lisa Loving speaks with writer Alifair Burke, that is, about her new suspense novel, The X. And then at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, Rosemary Reed Miller discusses her book, Threads of Time, The Fabric of History, which profiles African-American dressmakers and designers from 1850 to the present. That is all coming up this morning, right after Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. Stick around, that's next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the book release for Radical Mycology, a book on DIY mushroom cultivation, pollution cleanup, and more. The book release event will take place February 6th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. with author and Portland native Peter McCoy speaking at Tabor Space in Portland. McCoy will give two different presentations on the book's topics. There will also be a performance piece, projection art, and more. Again, that's the Radical Mycology book release, Saturday, February 6th, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Yes, and this KBOO program has also been made possible in part by McMenamin's Crystal Ballroom, presenting a conversation with Russian feminist punk rock protest group Pussy Riot, Tuesday, February 9th, moderated by Storm Large and John Sepulvado. Tickets and information for this all-ages seated event with Pussy Riot are available at crystalballroompdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. There's an article in Counterpunch, counterpunch.org. And it's about the Zika virus, and it's about the question of how did this suddenly happen? You know, if the Zika virus has been around for untold thousands of years, then why is it so that the Zika virus has suddenly mutated, and I do mean suddenly, into something that can cause microcephaly? It's very much in the news that it is causing microcephaly, or that there is a very, very strong correlation. And the correlation is so strong at this point, and the danger is so dire, that even though this is a hypothetical conjecture at this point, and even though correlation is not causation, of course, this is very close and looks likely. And so action needs to be taken at this point. And you've probably heard that point over and over. Well, keep that in mind, please, that sometimes correlation is very close, and it calls for an examination of whether it is related to causation. I mean, isn't that the case? And isn't that the scientific method? So Oliver Tickle, writing in Counterpunch, has written an article which links the microcephaly horror to genetic manipulation of mosquitoes. And it asks, has the genetic manipulation nightmare finally come true? And if I skip to the middle of the article, he writes, so down to the key question, was the mosquito released in Juazeiro, Brazil? Was the Oxitec genetically manipulated Aedes aegypti male sterile mosquito released in Juazeiro, Brazil, engineered genetically with it's what's called the piggyback transposon? Transposon is a molecular device for moving genetic material from one place to another. And piggyback is the piggy with a capital B, and then AC is the name of the patented device that does this, the genetic manipulation device. So was that corporation, Oxitec, mosquito, released in Brazil with that artificial mutation? Answer, yes, it was. And I'm not quoting directly from the article. I'm adding my own commentary because I want to make this clear. First question is, and the key question, were those mosquitoes genetically modified? Yes. And that creates, he writes, a highly significant possibility that Oxitec's release of its genetically manipulated mosquitoes led directly to the development of Brazil's microcephaly epidemic through the following mechanism. First, many of the millions of Oxitec GM mosquitoes released in Brazil in 2011 and 2012 survive, assisted, but not dependent on the presence of tetracycline in the environment. More on that in a minute. Second, these mosquitoes interbreed with the wild population, and their mutated novel genes become widespread. Again, I am adding explanatory material to this article. I encourage you to read it. It's in Counterpunch. It's by Oliver Tickle, T-I-C-K-E-L-L. Fourth, in the process, certain mutated strains of Zika acquire a selective advantage. Here they're talking about an evolutionarily selective advantage, making them more virulent and giving them an enhanced ability to enter and disrupt human DNA. Fifth, one way in which this manifests is by disrupting a key stage in the development of human embryos in the womb, causing microcephaly and the other reported deformations. Note that, as Melo Oliveira et al. Warned, there are almost certainly other manifestations that have not yet been detected. Sixth, it may be that the piggyback transposon itself has entered the DNA of babies exposed in utero to the modified Zika virus. Indeed, this may form part of the mechanism by which embryonic development is disrupted. So again, to summarize, the question and the accusation is, has the microcephaly epidemic been caused by genetic manipulation of mosquitoes by a U.S. corporation? And again, that article is in Counterpunch. It's on the front page, so use Control-F. Use Control-F, a bar pops up. Search transposon or search Zika. That would be easier, Z-I-K-A, and you'll find the article. For more information, look up piggyback transposon. Now, if you use a search engine, it will change piggyback BAC to BACK. Never mind that. If you put in the word transposon, TRANSPOSON, then it will pull up a page, and I have the page in front of me is called systembio.com/piggyback. And it writes, the piggyback transposon is a mobile genetic element that efficiently transposes between vectors and chromosomes via a cut-and-paste mechanism. During transposition, the super PB transposase recognizes transposon-specific inverted terminal repeat sequences, yada yada, located on both ends of the transposon vector, and here's the important part, moves the contents from the original sites and efficiently integrates them into TTAA chromosomal sites. There's more on that on the website. And again, the point, and I'm bringing this up because I think this is a very significant point of our out of control, billionaire dominated, corporate dominated society. Has this genetic manipulation caused the horror of microcephaly? And if you want to know just how horrible microcephaly is, don't just look for the movie Freaks. Go on to Google Images and have a look at what is being born to young women. Other things are happening, and thanks to Lynn for a heads up on what's happening in Greece. From RT.com, tear gas and Molotov cocktails have been deployed during a demonstration in Syntagma Square, Athens, where a general strike is taking place. Around 50,000 Greeks marched on Parliament in central Athens today. Groups of youths then broke away from the crowd and began hurling stones and petrol bombs at police. Officers responded with rounds of tear gas and stun grenades. The protesters are demonstrating against pension reforms that are part of Greece's third international bailout. More on that article at RT.com. And when they say pension reforms, they mean that they've cut pensions for the 12th times in a row. So that people are trying to pay all their bills with something like $800 a month. And that's on top of supporting their kids and their grandkids. And people have been getting hungry. And this has been going on for a decade. And it's beyond belief. And last week I was talking about Bernie Sanders. And for all the things I could say for or against Bernie Sanders, I will say that his analysis of the parasitic nature of the billionaires is quite accurate. They are sucking all the money and the joy out of society. And I was talking about general strikes and whether that is part of the answer. But in Greece, it seems like they're finally getting around to that. From Sydney Morning Herald, I'll skip down to a different article. I do believe I have some more information on the Greek strikes. Yes, the leftist government, this is also from RT.com, is aiming to overhaul the system by increasing Social Security contributions to avoid pension cuts. However, critics are angry, stating the reforms will cause many to lose two-thirds of their income to contributions and taxes. The line, by the way, speaking for myself, the line between contributions and taxes is pretty much invisible. These are takeaways. People will lose two-thirds of their income. And pensioner Nikos Ginis is quoted saying the government should be strung up here in Syntagma Square. He says, I'm getting $826 a month for 40 years of work. I'm demonstrating here for my children and grandchildren. From CBC, Canadian Broadcast Services, across Greece, ground to a halt today as workers joined in a massive general strike that canceled flights, ferries, and public transport, shut down schools, courts, and pharmacies, and left public hospitals with emergency staff. Well over 20,000 supporters, and as I was just mentioning, 50,000 from RT, a more recent article of a Communist Party-backed union, were marching through central Athens, while around 10,000 more people, including 1,000 lawyers in suits and ties, were gathering for a separate demonstration. A heavy police presence was deployed in the capital, as previous protests have often degenerated into riots. And speaking for myself, and against the CBC writing it this way. Yeah, they have degenerated into riots generally after the cops have thrown tear gas at them, which I think is what tear gas is for. Makes demonstrators look bad. You throw that stuff at people, it hurts them. They get sick and angry and throw something back. Often they throw the tear gas back. And then you can show that on TV and show just how criminal those terrible demonstrators are and how they've crossed the line. Back to the CBC article. Unions are angry at pension reforms that are part of Greece's third international bailout. The left-led government is trying to overhaul the country's ailing pension system by increasing Social Security contributions, same thing as I was reading before. Opposition to the reform, they say, has been vociferous, uniting a disparate group of professions, including farmers, artists, taxi drivers, lawyers, doctors, engineers, and seamen, among others. Demonstrators were also planned in Thessaloniki, where about 200 taxi drivers drove through the city center honking their horns in protest. Other Greek cities are also up in arms. Thursday's general strike is the most significant the coalition government of Prime Minister Tsipras has faced since he initially came to power about a year ago. As an opposition party, Tsipras' radical left Syriza party has led opposition to pension reforms, but he was forced into a dramatic policy U-turn last year when he faced the stark choice of signing up to a third bailout or the country being kicked out of the Eurozone. Now, and they write, Syriza has even issued a statement backing Thursday's strike. This makes me think of Bernie Sanders. And this makes me think of the situation we have here in the United States. Here it is another Thursday, but I invite you, probably most of you who listen to this program, I don't need to say this, but I wish I could say to the American public, just to believe what you see. You see people living on the streets, tent cities stretching out to here and yon, whole families living in the cold rain. That's you're actually seeing that. That's actually there. That's been there for years now. There's a reason for that. The reason for that is billionaires. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Again, more information about the strike in Greece. General strike, finally. And I would say that had there been a general strike a year ago, we'd be seeing a different outcome in Greece right now. But it's hard for people to do that, and I understand. I mean, you don't want to give up what little you have. And Greece is a small country that has been threatened by the entire world as they back up the billionaires and demanding that the Greek people work more and more and more for less and less and less, that they starve so that the billionaires can have more billions. And I also want to comment and ask you to remember that it was U.S. billionaire hedge funds that set up the Greek government and set up the situation that they now face. Returning to the article from Canadian Broadcasting, ferries between Greece islands and the mainland remained tied up in port today as part of the strike. While only limited public transport was operating in Athens for a few hours in the day, and taxis also stayed off the streets, more than a dozen domestic flights in Greece were canceled while farmers maintained their blockades of highways that have forced motorists into lengthy detours. State-run hospitals were functioning on an emergency staff, while state schools, many shops, and gas stations were shut. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Also in the news today, this from Sydney Morning Herald, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says he will hand himself over to authorities if the United Nations announces he has lost his case against his arrest on Friday. In a statement, this coming Friday, that is, in a statement on the WikiLeaks Twitter feed, Assange said he would leave the Ecuadorian embassy in London at noon local time to accept arrest by British police, as there is no meaningful prospect of further appeal. Assange has been living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for more than 3 years and has been granted political asylum by the Ecuador government, according to the Justice for Assange website. On Friday, the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention will publicly announce its verdict on the application made by Assange for a request of relief in the case brought against him by Sweden. The decision was made 2 weeks ago and has been provided to the countries involved. Now, speaking for myself, of course, this is an effort by Assange who probably knows the outcome of the decision, to point to the fact that he has been cornered in that embassy without so much as a garden for the last 3 years. And I'm quite sympathetic. And I just reading this article and looking at the situation, I decided to refresh my memory and I used a Counterpunch search engine on this, by the way. And thanks to Counterpunch for that service. Looked up what he's charged with and what the evidence is, and yeah, it's ridiculous, and no, he didn't rape anyone. And it's just an excuse to drag him to the United States so that he can be punished, and so that all of us can be terrorized by just how badly he's punished, so that we will never think of dissenting in the way that he did. And he, as you may recall, is the person who, taking Chelsea Manning's video record, showed the world the U.S. helicopter hovering over Iraq, murdering people, murdering journalists for fun. Time is 9:19. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I was talking about Julian Assange. Should the UN announce tomorrow, he put on his Twitter account, that I have lost my case against the United Kingdom and Sweden, I shall exit the embassy at noon on Friday to accept arrest by British police, as there is no meaningful prospect of further appeal. He wrote, however, should I prevail and the state parties be found to have acted unlawfully, I expect the immediate return of my passport and the termination of further attempts to arrest me. And Sydney Morning Herald writes, in the application to the UN body, Assange's team submitted that he has been deprived of fundamental liberties against his will. The deprivation of his liberty is arbitrary and illegal, and he faces a serious risk of refoulement to the United States. Assange fears Sweden will extradite him to the United States, where he could be put on trial over the WikiLeaks publication of classified military and diplomatic documents, one of the largest information leaks in U.S. history. And again, speaking for myself, it's those military documents that embarrassed the U.S. and exposed just how vicious the U.S. imperial war, just how arbitrary it is. And the diplomatic documents have exposed how arrogant and cold the United States is, and how untrustworthy the United States is in all the countries that are part of its orbit. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187. The application also mentions his state of mental and physical health and concludes with this quote. This is an application framed by political events, but at its heart is about a person who has been deprived of his liberty in an arbitrary manner for an unacceptable length of time. If all the names, details, and events were redacted, it could be distilled to the simple and irrefutable fact that a political refugee who has never been charged has been deprived of their liberty for nearly 4 years and confined in a very small space for over 2 years. The matter has come to a head because his mental and physical health are imperiled. The situation does not affect him, but also his young children. Not only affect him, but also his young children who are being denied the protection and affection of their father. Situation is in urgent need of a remedy. WGAD, that's the UN body, has both the power and the duty to grant it, end quote. If the group concludes that Assange is being unlawfully detained, the UN is expected to call on Britain and Sweden to release him. So this is all happening, well, actually in the next few hours, given the time zones. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Dennis is on the air.
Yes, may I talk just for half a minute on another subject, please? Just if I could. I mean, this is what it is I don't hear very much coverage of the situation down at the Porter Ranch in California. I mean, this is a perfectly horrible thing, and there's no solution in sight, and that's by Southern California Gas.
Okay, I will accept that topic. Megatons of mercaptan fouled methane are being released. It's sickening in the immediate area. It represents one quarter of the total release of methane by the state of California, which, as you can imagine, is huge. It is enough to actually create a microclimate of heating in the area. It is a disaster on par with a BP oil release.
Yeah, thank you. I wish that something could be done, really. I don't know. It's up to Southern California Gas, isn't it? I mean, they're the ones who are in charge of that situation. Sorry, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for answering my call.
Okay, sure. Well, it does need to be addressed. Generally speaking, though, of course, I'll stick with my usual policy that I would prefer that you stay on the topics that I'm bringing up. But, you know, don't know if I'll get to it. But I was going to go on to climate change. So, yeah, close enough. Prescient, one could say. So that's two topics that you're invited to call in on. That would be the Zika genetic modification connection and the release, not the release, but the detaining of Assange and the UN's weighing on that, and all that's going to come down in the next few hours in Britain. Regarding climate change from sciencedaily.com, the U.S. Forest Service has released a new report, Effects of Drought on Forests and Rangelands in the United States. And speaking for myself, I think you want to look at this. It's on sciencedaily.com, and we here in Oregon, in the Northwest, are, of course, moving through the wet part of the year, and we've got a snowpack, and all looks good from this point, but not really if you take the longer view. We are likely to see another tragic loss of millions of acres due to fires. So, quoting the report, or quoting the release on sciencedaily.com, this report confirms what we are seeing, that every region of the country is impacted by the direct and indirect effects of drought conditions and volatile weather patterns. 60 million Americans rely on drinking water that originates on 193 million acres of national forests and grasslands. They support 200,000 jobs and contribute over $13 billion to local economies every year. Speaking for myself, of course, that includes the watershed here for Portland, the Bull Run watershed. Returning to the article, the report establishes a comprehensive baseline of available data that land managers can use to test how well their efforts to improve drought resilience and adaptation practices are working nationwide. Major findings from the report include: drought projections suggest that in some regions of the U.S. it will become drier and that most will have more extreme variations in precipitation. Even if current drought patterns remain unchanged, warmer temperatures will amplify drought effects. Drought and warmer temperatures may increase risks of large-scale insect outbreaks and larger wildfires, especially in the western U.S. Drought and warmer temperature may accelerate tree and shrub death, changing habitats and ecosystems in favor of drought-tolerant species. Forest-based products and values such as timber, water, habitat, and recreation opportunities may be negatively impacted. Forest and rangeland managers can mitigate some of these impacts and build resiliency in forests through appropriate management actions. Since 2000, fire seasons have grown longer and their frequency, size, and severity have increased. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Quoting Tom Vilsack, Agriculture Secretary for the United States, among the many benefits of having the solid baseline data is the improved ability to identify where restoration work can help forests adapt and prosper while minimizing the threat and impact of future wildfires. That's a quote. And I want to comment, however, that when you have the Agriculture Secretary of the United States talking about restoration work, he's really speaking for the billionaire owners of the timber corporations, and that is code for we want to cut down more trees and we're going to pretend that that makes the forest healthier. It's always been a lie. And to be more specific about that, cutting down trees increases slash on the ground, decreases water retention, increases wildfire. This has been proven over and over again, is not new news. What you call regulatory capture. Georgia Pacific is far more important to the U.S. Forest Service and to the Agricultural Secretary than the truth ever will be. Time is 9:27. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And there's a great deal happening in the world. And I will just add some news stories. After the recent execution of Shiite cleric Nimr al-Nimr by Saudi Arabia, the Middle East once again risks devolving into sectarian chaos. And Josh Cohen writes on Reuters, of all places, a mob torched the Saudi embassy in Tehran, prompting Saudi Arabia and a number of its Sunni allies to break diplomatic relations with Iran. And skipping forward in his article, the point that he is making is that the U.S. now, he writes, despite longstanding ties, Saudi Arabia now harms American national interests as much as it helps them. Now, that's a very interesting article to be on Reuters. And I think, must have some political oomph behind it. And so I direct you to it. It's by Josh Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, on Reuters.com. And it's about whether the U.S. should continue its current relations with Saudi Arabia. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up, Per Fogering. And we're going out to you via the transmitter 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of This Changes Everything, Tuesday, February 9th, 6:30 p.m. at the Multnomah Arts Center Auditorium in Portland. This Changes Everything is a film directed by Avi Lewis and inspired by Naomi Klein's international bestseller of the same title that attempts to reimagine the vast challenge of climate change.
I've spent 6 years wandering through the wreckage caused by the carbon in the air and the economic system that put it there.
There will also be information and representatives from local groups involved in the climate change struggle. Again, that's Tuesday, February 9th, 6:30 p.m. at the Multnomah Arts Center Auditorium, 7688 Southwest Capitol Highway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The 18th Annual Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, a national town hall discussion on poverty and homelessness in America.
I think it would be pretty startling for the majority of the public to know that within about two blocks from the White House itself, there are homeless people sleeping in parks.
This year, we'll be live from the streets of Washington, D.C. That's the Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, coming to you soon and heard right here on this radio station.
This station is KBOO Portland.